CBS Sports Radio.
Into hour number two. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Merry Christmas. The year in review continues. It stands to reason that if I only got through February in hour number one, I'm way behind. I am tracking very slowly. I got to pick up the pace. Broadcasting live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every single day. A number of you have tweeted, oh man, I forgot that happened. This is why we do the year in review. There's so many amazing things that happen, and you can't possibly remember every last one of them. As an example, let's move into March. Starting off now with March, very rarely does a drop that we play on this show affect me to the point where I play it at the dinner table for my kids. In fact, it only happened once this year. But when I heard those two bros heckling Boogie Cousins, that's exactly what I did at the dinner table.
Do your job, man. Come on.
Hey, Alvin, why is Boogie so fat?
Tee him up,
bruh.
Hey, D, what's good, baby? Hey, AD was just staring at y'all.
What happened, fat boy? Fouled out?
Cousins, what's good?
Baby,
what happened?
Fat boy, how many you got, baby? What's good, fat boy? Fat boy! Fat boy!
Donuts, baby, donuts.
Fat boy.
We got donuts. Milk and donuts, fat boy.
Hey, fat boy, I got some donuts for you.
Krispy Kreme, fat boy.
It's got to be the best sound drop of the entire year. That might be the drop of not only the year, but of my entire career.
I don't
ever want to get on the wrong side of the big man. But those bros make me laugh every single time.
Fat boy, how many you got, baby?
Now, no matter how many times I say it on the show, people still do not get it. If you self-gloss, you will get run. Ask Dirty D Dog. Darren, good morning. What's going on?
Hey, Romy. It's actually Dirty D Dog.
That's not a E-Dog.
No.
You don't like that cop.
I don't like that cop.
Run from the show, but add it to the most exclusive club ever. Invite only. And all you have to do to get into that exclusive club is do the one thing you're not allowed to do on this show. And then you're in. Now, we did have somewhat of a sad day back in March. Marty called in for the first time in a long time. And instead of doing what Marty does by professing his love for me, he instead informed the world that he had moved on to somebody else. All right, let's go to the phones. My man's been on hold a pretty long time. Marty.
The bottom line is the Oakland Raiders are my team. They've always been my team, and they'll continue to be my team. Go Raiders.
All right, Marty. I don't know, Marty. I feel like I've been replaced by the Raiders. Why don't you just say it's not me, it's you? That sounded like the call that he made to me back in the day, but just subbed out me for the Raiders.
My buddy's name is the Oakland Raiders.
No clones. I did not close our joint Facebook account. Why? Because Marty and I never had a joint Facebook account. Nor did we name stars after one another. Nor was there a root beer float with two straws. No, there is no tandem Peloton bike. Now, when it comes to Jeff in SoCal, you pretty much know what you're going to get. Horrible and predictable takes on women's basketball.
Hey, it's Final Four, baby. Today's the day. The women's Final Four tips off. Now, Jim, you know what Cyndi Lauper once said? Girls just want to have fun. And, oh, man, Romy, this tournament has been fun. So, Jim, I wanted to get in and give you odds on the Final Four. I got UConn at 87% chance of winning, Mississippi State at 2% chance of winning, Stanford, 6% chance of winning, and there's a 5% chance that South Carolina's going to win. And, Jim, there's a 100% chance that you're going to see some terrible basketball and some short haircuts.
Dude, just stop. You're better than that. Well, actually, you're probably not, but I am. Look, I may have gone a few rounds with that pompous bag, David Stern, back in the day, over the WNBA, but my line of questioning was fair and well-reasoned. You, on the other hand, are just hot-taking and trolling. Step your game up, Jeff. And by stepping your game up, I mean just stop. Meantime, back in March, a mini smack-off broke out. First, Jeff in Middleton called for the first time in a long time, and he tried to take a run at Mike in Indy.
I called back when it was the jungle, baby.
And then I hear this guy, and he sounds like the girl from American Pie with the upper voice inflection, talk about a bum from Indianapolis. Now, I called him Mark because he was a Mark to me. Rome, you allowing him to turn the jungle into the petting zoo. And I'm trying to be calm, Rome, because I'm out here enjoying this beautiful weather, my landscaping business, making this money, blowing a hippie lettuce, relaxing. And then dude just take me out my zone with that weakness. I'm HIV, bruh, and you Irv. I'll end your career, homie.
I'm HIV, bruh, and you're Irv.
I'm HIV, bruh, and you Irv.
I will end you, homie. I guarantee most of you did not remember that. All right, so Jeff is a well-known caller to the jungle, and he hadn't picked up the phone in years. And he's a landscaper, as he points out. So Mike in Indy obviously weaponized that information for his clapback call.
Obviously, I got to come at Jerry in Ohio, who might have lost his damn mind. Don't roll up in here with some kitty cat takes, then call the jungle a petting zoo. Jerry, if you want to come correct, you can start by picking up all those names you just dropped. Nobody cares who you met in an autograph line. I'm glad to hear your landscaping business is going well, though, because that's the only bullshit you've seen since you last called 7 years ago.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
Damn, Mikey.
Not a very good call.
Hey, Mikey, you went hard in the paint because you all can't. But that wasn't it for that day. There was also an undercard where the jungle lightweights were at each other, like Mike in Little Rock, who came in to take a run at Josh in Detroit.
Josh in Detroit, your hook cards blast? Come on, bro. Who the hell are you to judge me or any Raider fan on how we spend our money in Vegas? I bet you thought that was real fresh. Why don't you do us all a favor and keep your fifth grade humor on Twitter?
And naturally, Josh in Detroit was already sitting on hold when that went down. So I went right to him for his response, and, well, it was bad. Josh in Detroit, you are next. Josh, good morning. What's up?
What's going on? Thanks for the vine, Jim.
You got it. What do you make of that last call, Josh? You know, the one where the guy called you a fifth grader and hammered you?
It was good. It was good. But you know what? I wanted to tell you.
Josh, why was the call good? The guy just cracked you.
I don't like that call.
I mean, the guy was like dead silent for nearly an hour and then finally spits out, it was good. It was good. I say it all the time. Good callers know how to react to things on the fly. They can go off their script if and when necessary. And they absolutely do not compliment dudes who just kick their teeth in. Also, at the end of March, I, Tanya, came out. Well, it came out a couple of weeks ago, but it was announced back in March. At that time, AC and Joplin wanted absolutely nothing to do with it.
Thanks, Mr. Rome. Hey, the thing with the Tonya Harding deal, first of all, I cannot stop those guys from making that move, but here's what I will do, and I'll promise you this much. That is terrible what they are. Yeah, I will stand outside the theater the first that goes in there.
That's not a good call. No.
Easy, AC. I'm pretty sure Nancy Kerrigan herself wasn't even that upset. This guy's dropping F-bombs over the movie. Not even the movie, but the announcement of the movie. Remember also in April when Rafa Nadal lost to Roger Federer in the Miami Open. Remember that? Neither did this hacky reporter who asked him how it felt to win and still stood her ground even when he told her he, in fact, lost.
Hi. Nadal, congratulations on your win. And I would like to know, how do you feel after the game and if you're ready to give it another try?
I lost, by the way.
Yeah, I know, but it's a win anyway.
Yeah, that's some hard-hitting journalism. She was not afraid to ask the question that nobody else was willing to ask. Where was she, though, when somebody needed to ask Matt Ryan if he asked Tom Brady how my ass tastes after the Falcons had that huge win in the Super Bowl?
Hi.
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 I don't care who you are in this business. If you sit in front of a camera or you spit game into a microphone, X will always love you. X will always hate you. Period. Regardless of who you are and what your point of view is. Except Ernie Johnson. Everybody loves Ernie. a Hall of Fame broadcaster, and an even better human being. And it's evident of that much when you hear him talk about what matters most to him, his family.
You know, I walked in after work, and she said, you know what we need to do? And I said, chicken or fish, you know, either. And she's like, no, this has nothing to do with dinner. This has to do with going and getting one of these kids who's been warehoused in the orphanages over there, because, and especially the disabled children. And we were all in, you know, we figured out a way to do this, as she would go over with a group, and I would watch Eric and Maggie, and it took 2 months. And the thing is, when they, you know, we were looking for a little girl under a year old. The first child they brought out to Cheryl was this almost three-year-old boy. And the nurse actually looked at Cheryl and said, do not take. Boy is no good. And I think that that's when it resonated with Cheryl, that she said, because she called me and she said, they showed me a boy today, and he's so much more than we can handle, but I don't know if I can go the rest of my life wondering what happened to that blonde-haired kid in that orphanage. And I said, bring him home. And that began the unscripted. When you have these unscripted opportunities, you have to embrace them and not run from them. And he's changed our life. And you know, we tried, we thought we might be helping him. He's impacted us and done more for us than we'll ever do for him.
Ernie Johnson, class personified. Frankly, I'm not sure I'll ever be half the person he is. Now, how many times on this show have we clowned somebody for botching a seventh-inning stretch or a NASCAR start? Start your engines command. Well, last spring, I was asked to give the opening command as the Grand Marshal of the O'Reilly Auto Parts 500 at the Texas Motor Speedway. And you know what? I'll own it. I'll be accountable. I'll be real. It looked easy enough from afar, but then when you actually get out there and it's go time, well, I nailed it, of course.
You know him as a sports radio host. You see him on TV. Please welcome a friendly voice to sports fans and NASCAR fans everywhere, your Grand Marshal, Jim Rome.
Drivers, start your engines.
Goosebumps, right? Tell me you're not getting chills. Piece of cake. Piece of cake. Now, losing my wedding band, walking down that catwalk the very same day, piece of crap. I felt like one. Credit to that one dude, six rows deep, that miraculously found it and got it back to me. Freaking legend. Quickly, before I go to break. Now, you know me. I am not a drug guy, but I'm also not naive. I know how big of a day 420 is for you ganj heads. So I served you a little nugget munchie, the ABCs of 420. The apostles of Afro Man. The blazers of blunts. The connoisseurs of Kron. The deacons of Dro. The eaters of edibles. The fanatics of 420. The gangsters of ganja. The homies of hippie lettuce. The inhalers of indica. The jump men of joints. The kings of kush. The leechers of lighters. Monsters of munchies. Notaries of nugs. Obliterators of Oreos. Partakers of peace pipes, quellers of quarter pounders, roasters of roaches, smokers of spliffs, tokers of trees, underachievers of urban areas, villains of vaporizers, wizards of wacky tobacco, yodelers of yawning man, and zealots of zigzags. A happy 420 to all of you. Right? Hey, let's now understand that a chunk of this audience is Team Bake. So to celebrate your stoner Christmas, I allowed a chunk of the show for stoner calls only. And you came out in full force, starting with pothead parents.
Oh, day's going fantastic, Rum. Right now, I am rifling through my kids' Easter basket. Both my kids.
That's incredible.
Just the good stuff, though. Just the, like, jelly beans and some caramel things.
It's all good, stoners. I literally have not torched the hippie lettuce in more than a quarter of a century, literally. Tree just is not my bag. But come 420, you're more than welcome to bake up in here, stoners. almost through the month of May. So let's get a quick timeout in. When we come back, we continue. Vadi in Pasadena made it in. It said something really unfortunate. That's coming up next. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. This is our year in review. Take a shot. Hit me up on the phones. Follow me on Twitter or email me directly, and we will come right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
How about this email? Dear James and wrongs of the right table, the wife just asked at 1:20 Eastern, do you want to go get coffee? I said, no, honey. How about three? I have to listen to the rest of the Rome Show year in review because it is so tightly produced. Thanks to all of you. Doug Watts, Augusta, Maine. Dougie, nice job. Thank you very much. It is tightly produced, but we're way behind. I'm chasing hard. Let's wrap up the month of April. Seems like every single year we're adding new items, new terms to the never-ending smactionary. But I can assure you of this. One item that did not make it in. Vadi in Pasadena. Go ahead, bro. What do you have?
Finally, Rome, just wanted to reset gym guy, specifically sauna guy. The guy who comes into the sauna to hang up his ripe, filthy towel, or worse. Bro, I'm trying to sweat out the magic blue from last night, not breathe in the vapor from your gaunch. I don't know what's worse, these...
A gaunch blast. Probably the first, certainly the last we ever get one on this show. Hey, Vadi, thanks for nothing. Let's go to May. May means a few things. Days get longer. Spring is in full bloom. And a Mets season has already gone right down the toilet. And one Mets fan in particular, a kid who might not even be in junior high school yet, was not having any of it.
Terry, show some f***ing emotion, you old ass, silly ass man. I want to punch the f***ing shit out of you. Knock your goddamn teeth out. Now, who's going to be smiling? I will. Never show a smile. I mean, when you do, you're spanking the teammates at you. You're spanking Michael Conforto's goddamn sore ass. That's what you're doing. So, Terry, goodbye. Have fucking Wally Backman come over here.
A Wally Backman reset in and around all those GD and F-bombs from that kid. He was getting nice, and he was far from done. If I had time, I'd play the rest of it. May the 4th is always a special day for Star Wars nerds to wave their dork flags. And a lot of times, it bleeds right into this program, like it did this past year when I extended a vine to a very unlikely caller. We go now to Alderaan. Chewbacca. Chewie, you're on the air.
Go Brown. Go the Brown.
Ah, Chewbacca is a Browns fan. Alvin DeLauro, you rack him. May the 4th be with you. Best take I've had on this program in weeks. Did you hear that guy? He went, "Arr! Go Browns." Maybe Chewie was onto something. May the force be with the Browns to cap off their perfect season. Now, whenever Broadway Victor calls in, you know he's getting ushered right to the front of the line, especially if he's calling in with a John in Little Rock blast.
Hey, John, you don't rock, bro. Not even a little. But hey, listen, I know you're into that 80s pop. So here's a little song I want you to sing next time you're thinking about calling the show, okay? Before you decide to call in, I want you to really think about it, and I want you to look at yourself in the mirror first and sing this song to yourself, okay? It goes like this. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, 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 I'm a douche, I'm a douche, I'm a douche, I'm a douche, I'm a douche.
That's not a good call. No. The John and Little Rock beef was short-lived, but it was pretty awesome. And who can forget Jim McElwain's summer? Before getting pink-slipped by the Gators, he was photographed getting frisky with sharks, allegedly. Sure, he denied it. Just not very well.
You've become part of this big viral photo.
Sure.
What's your feeling on this situation?
Well, first and foremost, I don't know who it is, but it isn't me.
I mean, what's your just feeling in general, just that something like this could even get out there and become a story?
Well, I guess that's for you guys to answer. And, you know, in the world we live, what is a story? I just know this, it isn't me.
You win 44 games. As a college football head coach, nobody bats an eye. But you get to know Jaws in a biblical sense only once, and you get labeled a shark humper for life. Heads up, Jimmers. It's Netflix and chill, not Netflix and gill. Of course, you clones had a field day with that story, especially one Mikey in Indy. Mikey, what's up?
Well, what's the world coming to with D1 head coach Jim McElwain out here dry-humping sharks on a boat? I wonder if he rubbed some castor oil on that thing first for maximum performance.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
Damn,
like that
Michael. Hey, Mike, you know you're my guy. But keep castor oil out your mouth. Now, you know, generally, I'm not naive. Just because I don't talk politics on the show does not mean that I'm not aware of how hostile the political landscape in this country has become. In fact, I'm well aware. I'm well aware because we did cover it on this show. On the eve of a congressional election in Montana, nominee Greg Gianforte got a little testy.
And what you thought we'll talk to you about that later.
Yeah, but there's not going to be time. I'm just curious if you
okay,
have the
speak
right
with
now.
Shane, please.
But you
don't.
Just... sick and tired of you guys. The last time you came in here, you did the same thing. Get the hell out of here.
Jesus.
Get the hell out of here.
You just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
In case you couldn't tell from that sound, what happened? He got body slammed and he broke his glasses. That was a reporter. Just in case that wasn't clear. Hey, just because I don't get political with it does not mean that I can't. Because I will. And I did. Tamon Guard won a race at Santa Anita.
Towards the eighth pole, Texas two steps the leader. Tom and Guard still a length in arrears, followed by Midnight Pleasure, Newcomer, Boy Howdy. Now Tom and Guard gets past Texas two step. The favorite hits the lead past the 16th pole. Midnight Pleasure running on. But Tom and Guard, first up off a 9-month layoff, too good. Beat Midnight Pleasure, Texas two step, and St. Dermot, a useful comeback four.
Jungle Racing and Partners will take that. Tough, tough year with the ponies. Believe me, I've been to the very top of that sport, and I've been to the very bottom of that game, and the lows still feel worse than the highs feel good. Let's break. When we come back, we get into June. I might make it. I may get to the end of this thing. We pick it up with June and a story involving the cat and lots of other immortal jungle moments. All straight ahead. It is the year in review 2017, In and Out of the Jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Merry Christmas. Time now for a sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show, the year in review on CBS Sports Radio.
Having a blast. This is so fun. Welcome back. Halfway through it, continuing with our year in review, a couple of quick tweets. At McStoney12 tweets. My six-hour drive across the state of Wisconsin could not be going any better thanks to the YIR. Hashtag Rome, YIR. If you want to tweet about the show, just do me that favor. Hashtag it. Hashtag Rome, YIR. That way everybody else can see who's saying what about the show. At Such Beer Wow tweets, I hope Jeff in SoCal never stops calling with WNBA takes. Hashtag Rome, YIR. I hope he does. I hope he does, Mike. At Rodzilla 5150 tweets, I'm a new listener. Dang, you blew up my heart with the Ernie Johnson story. Hashtag Rome, YIR. Rodney Wright? It's an amazing, amazing story. But Ernie's an amazing guy. Let's go into June quickly. Tiger Woods had himself a year, and not in a good way. June kicked off with the cat napping it out in the driver's seat of his car, pilled up, and lucky he didn't hurt or kill somebody else. Least of all himself, but at least the tape was rolling.
And you're going to recite the entire English alphabet in a slow, non-rhythmic manner, meaning you're not going to sing it, okay? Do you understand the instructions?
Yeah.
Okay, what were the instructions?
Not to sing the national anthem backwards.
Not to sing the national anthem backwards?
Brave the home, the
four.
Nailed it. Can I go now? Damn. Just another 7-iron to the grill of the Cats legacy. And it's always good to hear from longtime listeners like Jerome in H-Town. However, it's bad when they bring up the stuff that we just don't do anymore. Let's go to Jerome in H-Town. Jerome, what's up? How are you?
Thanks for the vine. Just want to start off saying prof to you. Listen to the jungle for over 20 years. Listen to some of the legends. Listening to the takes on that tennis player, Aronte Chick from the Barrio, and that female golfer, Sari Pack, and her questionable doctor.
Hey, Jerome.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
Hey, Jerome.
Not a very good call.
Anna Pornikova didn't want any of that. Listen, I appreciate the loyalty, but, quote, a raunchy chick from the Barrio? Extremely inappropriate. Times have changed, and so should you. Sidney Crosby came in after ripping the cup and winning the Conn Smythe. I will stand by this. I still think that winning the Stanley Cup is the ultimate grind in all sports. Nothing is tougher. Every single game, every single period, every single shift feels like life or death, and it goes on for several weeks. I asked Sid, when he came on this show, how he survived it.
Our goaltending was amazing. Both guys stole games for us. Flower was unbelievable those first two rounds. And then Murr stepped in and was really solid for us all the way through. So we just had some big plays from different guys. But the biggest thing was just guys showed a lot of character and will there to get us through.
You know, it's so strange. Sid is one of the greatest ever. I mean, one of the greatest in any sport ever. Why is it, though, whenever I hear him now or think of him, the first thing that pops into my mind is not that he's one of the greatest ever to do it, but whether or not he's got, quote, a luscious ass.
How did he get that? How did he get that big, luscious ass and those succulent lips? Is your ass bigger than Madison Bumgarner of the San Francisco Giants? Oh, man. Bye.
People call me with that stuff. I get calls like that for the podcast. Ahead of the U.S. Open at Erin Hills, we turn to jungle legend Steve Elkington. Whenever Elk comes in, it's hard to keep the show on the rails, no matter what we're talking about, even grass.
Stevie sees me and he comes over, and the first thing I says to him, mate, I says, can they keep it out of the hay? You know, can they keep it out of this deep muff? And he says, mate, there's more muff out here than a 1982 Hustler magazine.
He said,
it is fair enough off the tee. If you hit it a good drive, he said, you got to hit a bad one to get it in the muff, okay, or the hippie hair. What are we going with today? Muff, hippie hair?
Let's go hippie
matter.
Hair, Elk. Let's go hippie hair, Elk. Let's definitely go hippie hair.
Okay, let's go big hippie.
Mate, are we going muff or hippie hair today? Whatever it was, you clones ate it up, and Elk proved why he is still far and away the most popular and dangerous interview in jungle history. My man Gary Vaynerchuk made his maiden jungle run this year, calling from France. Before Gary V earned his platinum status in the jungle, before his hit on my podcast, he was just a guy getting clowned for his less than ideal radio voice. Now, Gary, you're huge on self-awareness. What's it mean to be self-aware, and why is that so critical?
People love people that are self-aware. Like, I know my shortcomings, right? One thing you, first of all, you guys over there in junk, you guys are unbelievable. The fact that you guys paid attention to me interacting with people while there was a break, kudos to you. And you saw it, right? Like, somebody said, one of the people on Twitter said, Gary's accomplished so much. Wait till he actually hits puberty. Like, that's self-aware. Like, I understand what my voice is. When you own your stuff, you always win, right? So to me, I know what I'm good at and I know what I suck at. And that's why I punted school. That's why I don't try to read. I don't give a crap about my grammar. But I'm a gangster businessman who innovates and understands what people do. And I feel like everybody who's listening now, if they just focused more on what they're good at instead of focusing on what their parents want them to be, what they actually know, instead of wishing they were something, right, just actually knew who they were and executed against it, everybody would be dramatically happier and winning at a higher level.
That's why Gary Vee is a legend and a gangster businessman. Shrugging off that puberty blast from one of you ghouls. And why do I think that was Vic who hit him with that? I'm not sure, though. Look, there are a few rules when you call this program. Do not self-gloss. Do not bring any bum smack around here. No personal appearance smack. And now, thanks to Casey in Pensacola, we have added a new rule. Never, ever talk junk about the Space Shuttle Challenger.
KC, nice to have you on. What's up?
Oh, what's going on, Rome? Hey, I can't remember that guy's name in Salt Lake City.
Zach.
Zach or Daryl or whatever his name is. But the only spaceship he was calling from was the Challenger because his phone call exploded about 30.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Luckily, I did not have to spend too much time berating Casey, because my man Bo in Nashville called in right away to lay down the hammer, or should I say catfish.
Dude, KC from Pensacola, ain't nothing cool about speaking upon tragic events, Playboy. That's bad business. I know my man Rome don't advocate violence, but you know, if I saw you somewhere, I'd smack you with one of these Smashville catfish right in your face.
I mean, damn, Bo, that was strong. That was strong, and thank you for helping me to police the jungle. But of course, that was not the end of it. Casey had to sober up quickly and jump right back in and take a run at Bo. Casey in Pensacola.
I got a little question. You know, I got real cable. You know what I'm saying? For Bo in Catfishville or whatever. I got Mediacom and Dish Network, so he can take his you boohoo verse elsewhere. And the only catfish that he knows is Manti Te'o's girlfriend.
All right, so Bo had threatened to cut his cable, and that was the response from Casey. And, of course, Bo got in the last word.
Casey, probably tomorrow, I'm going to come down there and roll up in the black photo kissing Doe Lincoln with the tint on it with my man Alvin driving, Gangster V, businessman in the back seat, and my man Rome in the front seat with the sunglasses on. They're going to drop me off. I'm going to knock on your door, man. You're going to open that door. And you're going to see a 6'6 dude with the Pecorini gold-tinted outfit on with the Jason mask. You're probably going to be scared, man, running like a little girl to the back door. That's when I'm going to whack your ass and trip you with the hockey stick and one-time your ass straight to the front lawn. And I'm going to push your ass in the back seat and have go GPS it straight to the Pensacola City dump. And that's when I'm going to pull up and whack your ass with them two Smashville catfish and roll your ass out and leave you at the city dump. And by the way, you ain't KC. You lame, see?
You ain't KC. You lame, see? My man Bo. Bo is jungle royalty right about now. KC, in fact, all of you, keep his name out your collective mouth. Bo in Nashville. All right, when Dwight Howard was traded to Charlotte this summer, an emailer came in to point out it was his fifth team in 7 years. Let me repeat that. Five teams in 7 years.
Seven years
up in the pros, in case you didn't know, professional. Four teams, I made my dough. If you didn't know, now you know. ATL, let me go. Five teams for real, though. I still can't make my throws. No matter what, I'm still a champion. Yo. Not bad, right? Not bad. As Smackoff season was approaching, though, we heard from Brad in Corona for the first time in a long time. Not to RSVP, but to clown the reigning champ. And damn, Brad came hard.
Seriously, Rome, I don't know if you've seen Left's ears lately, but I'm pretty sure with those radar dishes tacked to the sides of his head that that dude can listen to your show without ever actually turning on his radio. He just opens the sunroof in his car, points his big old butt chin toward the heavens, and beams the signal directly through those ears and into his brain, Jim. The dude is a legend. Rumor has it he can hear a whisper from over 50 miles away. Hey, Left. You're a gimmicky little bitch.
Brad and Corona, one of the best calls of the year. Probably the worst part about the Smackoff, though, is all the hacks who come out sniffing that $5,000 cash prize that we put on the table every single year. You know, guys like Travis in New Mexico.
Travis in New Mexico. He got racked last time out. Travis, what's up? How are you?
Rome, so good to talk to you. I'm doing tremendous. Look, Ron, we all know in the battle for Smackoff 2017, to beat the best, I'm Wayman.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Like I said. Nice job. Way to smash that eject button before your jet burst into flames, goose. Let's quickly start July. Big year for tennis in the jungle. We got a handful of tennis takes on the air. Then again, how could we not when Bethany Maddock Sands went down in Wimbledon and, well, nobody did anything about it.
Grabs her knee and goes down.
Yeah, this does not look good. She's been on the ground for a while.
Help me, please. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help
me. This is first game of the third set.
Just checking. Has anybody helped her yet? With the Smack-Off looming at the end of the month, July was a very busy time for the regulars to come in with their RSVPs. This year, Mike and Indy went a little off the board with his.
I'm all over that number one spot like stank on S, and I'm going to have all these other callers screaming like that tennis chick when I win it again this year. These callers are going to be screaming, help me, help me. You can call this an RSVP call, Romy, but I don't do RSVP calls. I make RESPECT calls. Find out what it means to me calls.
An Aretha Franklin reset. I was fine with that. I mean, I guess. But you know that that only set the ball on the tee for Vic and NoCal to come in and take a swing and take him to task.
Mike, did you really come in here with an RESPECT, find out what it means to me blast? Really, Mike? Did you seriously just try to Aretha us? You corny, man. See, you came in here today, Mike, calling other people scrubs, but I don't think you even know what that word really means. See, a scrub is basically a guy who thinks he's fly, also known as a buster. You know, he's always talking about what he wants, but he just sits on his broke ass. And that's you, Mike. And you just got TLC'd, my main man. You just got TLC'd.
That was a pretty good sign that this year's Smack-Off was going to be great. Now, you know what I say. Nothing ever lives up to the hype. Well, Conor McGregor v. Floyd Mayweather did, and the hype was awesome.
He's in a f***ing tracksuit. He can't even afford a suit anymore. The roses are 2012 outside. He is f***ed. His little legs, his little core, his little head. I'm going to knock him out inside 4 rounds, mark my words. He looks like a little breakdancer or something, a little 12-year-old breakdancer. What the? He's 40. You're 40 years of age. Dress your f***ing age. Carrying a school bag on stage. What are you doing with a school bag on stage? You can't even read. 50 strippers on his payroll this man has. What the f*** is he doing with that strip club? What the f***? 50 strippers on his payroll. Shout out to all the stripper on his payroll.
I've never seen an athlete with that guy's rap. I have never seen an athlete with that guy's rap. It's absolutely awesome. He didn't win the fight, but he won everything else. Actually, believe me, he won the fight. Every time he goes to the bank, he's reminded of how he won that fight, even if he didn't win the fight. All right, we'll come back. Hour number three, last hour of the year. The Smack-Off itself, still ahead. Romageddon, still ahead. If you want to take a shot and get through, go ahead. Give me a call, 1-800-636-8686. If not, just go ahead and keep thumbing out those tweets. Hit me at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Clones, Merry freaking Christmas. Happy New Year. Last hour of the year when we come back.